Welcome everybody to the Listen Up Podcast. It's your boy Brandon at Future No Dad 24.
It's your boy Sam at More Life One.
And on today's episode, man, we're gonna talk about the 41-17 loss to Pitt. Man, it's sad that we keep being on the losing end of these, but man, we're gonna break it down as only we can. Sam, you ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's get it. All right, so I guess, Sam, the most important question I could think of is Dave Chappelle not the greatest comedian of our generation?
Dude, Chappelle is awesome. I didn't really like his monologue last night, though.
You
I didn't
crazy. Like his monologue.
It was okay. It was okay. But nah. I wanted more. I wanted more from Dave on the monologue, but it was okay.
Nah, everybody wanted more. I mean, shoot, he could have did that for another hour, but you know, you got to say something for Netflix. You know what I mean?
I can't
wait for that next Netflix special to come out, because I imagine that'll be the one that he'll really, really let it go. But yeah, man. Now that was the most important question I had, man, for sure. But man, listen, welcome back, man. Welcome back. I'm glad you were able to get everything. You know, I'm glad you were able to take care of some personal issues and stuff, and we've talked about it. And I don't know if you want to bring it to the podcast, but listen, I'm glad to have you back, my man.
Yeah, man, I'm glad to be back. Actually, you know, I had that personal thing go on, and I dedicated some time to sending some text messages for voting and stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I was one of those people. so I was
Wait a minute. You were not one of them people, because I just started replying back with just all sorts of messages. I was sending that Jamie Foxx. I was sending that Jamie Foxx video that I posted to the coaches last week. I was replying. You probably got some rude messages from me, man. I can tell you that.
Yeah. But nah, man, you know, I was just out there doing my civic duty out there, you know what I'm saying? Engaging myself in the process. I'm glad to be back though. Glad to be back. And I know our times wasn't lining up, you know, because I moved I've switched shifts or whatever. So man, I'm glad to be back.
Nah, man, absolutely, man. Listen, it ain't the same, man. Doing that podcast solo ain't the same with doing it with you, man. So I'm definitely glad to have you back, man. I was writing notes, trying to figure out how to stretch time, and then as I started talking, I was like, you know what? I'm gonna just let it rip. I'm gonna just let it rip. So I apologize to the fans. I went off on a little tangent at the end of the last podcast, man. But unfortunately, I'm gonna have to pick right back up where I left off, man, because Florida State. I mean, I'm trying to figure out where to start with this one, man. I guess the first place to start, as normally we would start with the defense, I think this time I'm gonna start with the offense, because this is another game where Florida State cannot score points in the second half. Teams have figured out, one, that they're limited, that their quarterback play is very limited. But not only that, I mean, the play calling is just bad. Like, if a team is rushing seven every single play, at some point you have to slow down the pass rush. If they're pinning their ears back every single play and nothing you do to stop, and you don't change anything, you just keep dropping your quarterback back on 7 and 8 step drops. You don't switch to a quick passing game. You don't run any screens. You don't run any draw, like things that you know slow down that pass rush. I look at it and I say, what are they doing? Like,
yeah,
are they coaching? Like,
well, I guess that's what confused the hell out of me, is the whole year you've been running somewhat of like these counter plays to put extra blockers in different places. And then this game, you got all. I mean, I seen at least, I think at one time they did like 5 or 6 straight dropbacks, and every time they got sacked, like every single time, like they was in 3rd and 24 and 3rd and 18, like after that script, they stayed in 30-18 and 30-24, 30-15. Like, it was ridiculous, dude. I don't know. Like, this is the first game I looked at Mike Norvell as an offensive coach and said, I don't know if he knows what the hell he's doing right now. Like, this is the first game I looked at and saw that. Now, I mean, he's been bad in the second half, but I kind of chalked that up to, well, maybe teams figure you out in the second half and you don't have the talent and you don't have the quarterback, so I just give you a pass because at least the first half, you know, you empty in the clip. But, no, dude, like, he was bad all the way around yesterday. Like, they was really, really bad.
Yeah, coaching was bad at every single phase of the game yesterday. And I hadn't seen that from this staff where I felt like, whew, this is a bit Willie Taggart-esque, where I can look at the coaches and say, yo, what were y'all doing out here? What was going on? Like, what was your game plan? Like, because the game plan seemed bad on offense, the game plan seemed bad on defense, and it actually seemed bad on special teams. Like, every single aspect of the game looked unprepared, unfocused, and poorly coached. They looked like a poorly coached football team. And when
it just seemed like Pitt knew what they was doing. It seemed like Pitt was right. Not confused.
You got outcoached by Pitt. Which again, and then you got our coach last week by Louisville. Then you got our coach by Notre Dame. I mean, like, how many times are we gonna look at this and say, "All right, you've been outcoached by this group. You've been outcoached by this team. You've been outcoached by that team." Before we look at the coach and just say, "Obviously, you're just a bad coach." I mean, Georgia Tech outcoached, and this, I mean, like, go down the list. Shit, I mean, Jacksonville State outcoached you. You just had more talent than Jacksonville State. Like, that's what I mean. Like, every single game I look at and I say, some aspect of the game, we were outcoached. Most situations, we were outcoached. This time, your head coach constantly put your bad defense in positions by going forward on fourth. Like, when you go forward on fourth and one early in a football game and you get it, it kind of sends a message, right? A spark to your team. Yo, we out here ready to fight or whatever. All right, cool. When you keep doing it, it feels desperate. Like, we really, really need something, and I don't know what to do, so I'm just trying things. We can't afford – we got to score points. And then it starts to feel desperate. And that's what it looked like yesterday. It looked – we had three – it went from Jordan Travis to James Blackman to Chuba Purdy. The idea that James Blackman was in the middle of that and actually had an opportunity, and the head coach's response was, yo, I thought maybe Blackman would give us a spark.
Okay, that was another part right there. Like, I mean, we talked about this, but you should never, ever, 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 ever go to James Blackman in any game. At any point.
What do you know about James Blackman that, like, all the fan base ain't seen? Like, there was nothing that could have happened good by throwing James Blackman in the game, and only bad things could have happened. And that's so funny, because the thing about it was, that was the turning point in the game for me. Like,
yeah,
James Blackman, when you're down by one score, you get the ball first or whatever. I don't know what Chuba Purdy was going to do, because we'll get on him in a minute. But I have no idea what Chuba Purdy was going to do, but what I did know was James Blackman wasn't going to do nothing good for you.
Mm-hmm.
And what did he do? Came out there the third pass through the worst interception I've ever seen, except for Tate Rodemaker through that same dumbass pass.
Man.
Explain to me how you what would go through the head coach's mind to say, hey, man, James, you're up. Huh? The dude who been soaking on, like that dude in this situation with this pass rush?
I mean, of course he was going to throw a pick. Of course he was going to throw a pick. I mean, this is who he is. Like, I don't even want to, it's not even James Blackman's fault at this point.
No, you put James out there. James was doing what James does. When people show you who they are, believe them the first time. James showed you exactly who he was.
Yes, he needs to lead from the sidelines.
Correct. He's a great cheerleader. A fantastic cheerleader. Let that man cheer Everybody got a job to do. James's job is to cheer from the sideline. The fact that you put this man out there back on that field after benching him for Jordan Travis all this time, and then, like, again, I just knew he was, like, fourth option. Four or five people have to get hurt in order for you to see James Blackmon again. And the fact that Jordan Travis goes down, which, again, he going to go down because he's 112 pounds or whatever it is, and he runs reckless. So at this point, you knew Jordan Travis was going to go down at some point. He goes down, and the first dude you roll with is James Blackmon. And now you're down by two scores, and now let me throw in Chuba Purdy. It looked like if nothing else, you had to bring James Blackmon back out there for another drive because it makes you look like you are in somewhat control of your program and your team.
Right.
To go from Blackmon, that didn't work. All right, let me go in and go with Purdy. It looked like, all right, I failed at that one. And there was no way Chuba was going to come in and do anything.
Yeah, I mean, dude, I got to be honest with you, dude. I think I tweeted this out like a couple weeks ago. Like, maybe the answers isn't on the roster. You know what I'm saying? Maybe the answer isn't there. You know, like, mm-hmm. I'm not gonna say we're in a black hole, but I do feel like I don't see a lot of hope because he's not gonna be able to recruit himself out of this. You know what I'm saying? Like, some coaches, you could be like, well, he'll recruit and, you know, he'll find a baseline. Like, Mike's not going to recruit himself out of this. And it seems to me, just watching him, he's not going to coach himself out of it either, right? Like, Dan Mullen coached himself out of what was going on in Florida. You know what I'm saying? You know, to a point now he's recruiting better. And Manny Diaz recruited himself out of his situation, right? Mm-hmm. You know? See, I don't think we have a recruiter like that or a ex and old coach like that either.
And so, that's exactly what I was going to say. The thing that made Dan Mullen successful was play calling is an art, man. They're really good play callers who understand what the defense is doing, and they're playing. They play that chess game really well. Mike don't seem like that dude. Like, he really, like, again, he's shown flashes of it, but I mean, so did Willie, and so did Kendall Browse. You know, show flashes of, man, that was an excellent call you just made right there.
But you know,
I'm talking about consistently putting your players in position to make plays. Guys running wide open. Guys, you know what I mean? Scheming guys open. Understanding that the defense in this situation is sending seven. I got to play for you for whenever you send seven to make you not have to send seven. And so now I'm back in control of this football game. Make that, like, that's the thing about it. When was the time we made their defensive coordinator have to change something up? Have to switch something up? Have to change what he's doing. And then when he makes that change, then you have a counter to it. Like, it's a constant match, man. It's a constant battle between the defensive coordinator and offensive coordinators for both teams. And what happens is we'll come out with our game plan and then they adjust to it. And then we don't have the counter adjustment.
I mean, I just don't see, you know, it's something else I want to say. Like, as we're watching Norvell and the defense and the plan, like, it is possible that sometimes you just come out and you have a bad day. You had a bad plan. You had a bad, you know what I'm saying? Like, you had a bad week, a bad plan, and this team had a better plan. And you just in a situation where there's nothing you could do.
Right.
You know, and I kind of felt that way about this game in particular. But I guess when you put this game and then you put it on top of the Louisville game, and then you think about them coming out of a bye week. I mean, I don't, like, dude, that's very troubling. Last year we was losing games last year, like, you know, in the fourth quarter, you know, by seven points and 10 points.
We were in all those games. We were in a game with Virginia. You think we're going to be in a game with Virginia this year?
I don't think so.
I agree with that. That's what I'm saying. We were in the game. Like, we were in games with teams last year. We were in the game with Louisville last year. We got blown out by Louisville this year. Explain to me the progress. I'm waiting. Y'all still want to point at North Carolina win? Because I'm not.
Right.
You see what I mean? Like, at some point, man, like, it's got to be different than what it is. And we keep saying, all right, we're going to flip the roster. And I keep saying, okay, cool. They're going to get these bad players in here. Are they going to get these worse players in here than the players they got now, but they're somehow going to be better. All right. Okay. Right. I mean, if that's what y'all are telling me, cool. Because that's all I keep hearing. Well, we got to get all these bad apples out of here. That's a lot of bad apples. I mean, you telling me so the whole roster is full of bad apples. And dudes,
but my thing is, he's not going to recruit over these guys.
That's my point, which is why I keep saying you're going to replace these 4 and 5 star bad apples with 2 and 3 star good apples, and they're going to produce more talent. Okay. If you're talking about competing against, you know, Wake Forest and maybe Virginia, but you ain't beating no good teams. You ain't beat Miami. You ain't competing with Miami. You ain't competing with Florida, who'll be back on the schedule next year. You ain't competing with none of the good teams.
Yeah, so, man, you know what, man? Thank God we ain't got to play Florida.
No.
Jesus Christ. Thank God.
Florida, man, Dan Mullen would score 80 on us.
Dude.
Just to send a message. Damn,
my God.
What's his name in a couple weeks finna score 80 on us? Clemson in a couple weeks to get us score 80. I'm hoping they end up canceling that game due to COVID.
Yeah, we need some cancellations, and we need them now.
No, like we need some COVID cancellations immediately. Let's hope Notre Dame did us a favor. They stormed that field. Everybody got COVID. They whole team finna test positive. They done for the season. All right, Clemson is done for the remainder of the season, unfortunately. Oh, we don't have to play them. You know what I mean? Like, because I'm telling you, there's nothing good that's going to come out. And here's the other problem. This team right now understands that it's bad and it's looking bad. How much do they fight next week against NC State? Like, I'm just being honest with you. How much do we believe they're going to actually go out there and fight next week against NC State? How much do we believe they're going to fight against Clemson? How much do we believe they're gonna fight against anybody at Virginia, Duke? Honestly, after getting blowed out and blowed out and blowed out and blowed out, hell, I don't even blame them for that.
Yeah.
Like, I can't even be mad at them for quitting at that point. Nobody wants to get blowed out every week. They're getting blowed out every week by mediocre teams. Pitt ain't a good team.
Yeah, these games are over in the second quarter.
Yeah,
second
Pitt ain't a good team. You can't blow out.
Louisville not either.
Louisville ain't a good team. You can't blow it out by mediocre teams. That's a problem. You can't score points in the second half. That's a problem. Teams are figuring you out early, and you have no counterpunch. That's a problem. And Chuba Purdy ain't the answer.
Yeah.
Like, we got to hope Luke Altmyer stays committed. And he's the answer, because I can tell you, Chubb ain't starting next year. If Luke can play even a little bit, Chubb ain't showed me nothing that says he's going to be, again, true freshmen that come in and look good.
Yeah.
I've seen them do it at various programs around the country. Turn on your TV. Watch a game on Saturday beside Florida State. True freshmen are coming in and looking decent. Right. I'm not sure he completed a pass yesterday.
Dude.
That was a forward pass, I mean. Like, you know.
You know who he really looks like? Blake Bortles. He don't remind you of Blake Bortles? Like the awkward wind-up and the kind of fluttery football that he throws?
I'm not a natural thrower of the football. He definitely looks like that dude.
And that's I'm saying like big, strong, kind of, you know.
Yeah, but Blake, I mean, here's what we were sold, though. We weren't sold big, strong, aloof Blake Bortles. We were told he was a faster Jordan Travis. He was a bigger, stronger, faster Jordan Travis. He ain't that.
I don't think he throws the ball much better than Jordan Travis, to be honest with you.
I haven't seen him throw the ball better than Jordan Travis, and he's gonna run the ball better than Jordan Travis. So explain to me where this bigger, faster Jordan Travis narrative came from.
But he's coming off a collarbone injury too, so maybe I want to wait on that. But I mean, Blake Bortles was good at UCF. I mean, so he could be good. Blake Bortles was good at UCF. He was.
Again, look at that. Look at what he does and how he looked, and tell me, okay, maybe in 4 years it'll be Blake Bortles. But yeah. You ain't at UCF playing UCF schedule.
Yeah, that's true too.
Like, Blake Bortles was good playing in that conference. Great. He was fantastic in that conference.
Yeah.
Blake Bortles didn't have to go up against the ACC schedule every year. So, again, you can't have Blake Bortles at Florida State.
Hey, bro, you know what else? You know what else was very glaring about that game?
What?
You know, Pitt is not a great team, but, man, they defensive line coach, that's the guy I wanted. That defensive line coach really get those fucking guys to play really good on defense and on their defensive line, don't he? That guy, Charlie.
So, well, I'm going to stay with Alvin for 1 minute because I'm going to include and I'm going to wrap it in together.
Those guys from Florida, too, on that defensive line. I mean, some of them, there's a couple guys on the deep line from Florida. So.
From Florida, yeah, yeah, no, I know. The Dunk, Ron Dugans, and the Furniture, I appreciate y'all, man, but y'all, it's time. It's going into, it's time for y'all to find a new place to call home, man, because, again, the wide receivers can't get open. Like, Terry, I get it, man. He came back from knee injury. I didn't expect much out of him, all right? Where the other receivers at? Like, what is Young doing on the screenplay where he's, like, gently walking out to, like, go high-five the DB who is in there blowing up your screenplay in the back? You can't run a screen if the wide receivers don't block. And when your wide receivers is slowly walking out there to make a block, it's crazy. Like, the quit was on that pick six. The quit on that pick six said a whole lot about the team. Nobody, like, again, what was happening as I'm looking at offensive guys who just refused to tackle a guy with the ball? Like, this dude was surprised he was in the end zone. He was like, nobody gonna tackle me? He got to the end zone and couldn't figure out what to do with himself.
Right.
Because nobody showed any effort to want to tackle him. Like, again, listen, I'm gonna go back. So the Dunk, because I'm out. The Dunk, Ron Dugans, I appreciate you, but again, your unit is wildly underperforming and can't catch COVID. Can't do nothing. Like, nothing. Well, they don't run routes well. They don't block well. They don't catch well. Thank you for your services. And now we talk about the defensive line. Please explain to me what 11 is doing crashing into the line. Lazily crashing into the line as opposed to setting the edge. When he set the edge the one time, the defender ran right into his arms. And I was like, look at this guy doing his job, setting the edge. But the play before that, he went crashing right into the, like, crashing down the line, like, on a play that he thought was going the other, you know, that he thought was headed to the right or whatever it is. And I'm just like, that's not your job.
Yeah.
That's not your job. But at some point, I'm the coach. My job is to put these dudes in the best position. If you're not going to do what you're told, then I'll find somebody else. Even if you're a worser player, I just need to let me see it look right. You may not be able to make the play, but if you just set the edge, maybe some better players behind you can come make the play.
Right.
That's what I mean. Like, again, your guys, he ain't a freshman. 11 ain't a freshman. Robinson is not a freshman. That means he's been coached by that same coach for a long time. Like, again, the Furniture and Ron Dugans, Adam Fuller. I put it on yesterday. Tell me what the game plan was. Listen, I'm gonna take a step back too, because the players have played terribly.
Right.
They absolutely have played terribly. Yesterday, there was a lot of bad plays from a lot of players. But please tell me what the game plan was. I'm sure that we'll get a message on Twitter sometime later today or tomorrow once the film gets broken down, and they'll explain to us what the game plan was. And they'll have justifications. But please explain to me what the game plan was. I can tell you what Pitts was. Pitts was clear, wasn't it? I'm blitzing you every play. We send in more guys than you can block every play. I don't care if it worked. We may get beat over the top, but we're going to make you have to change up what our game plan is, because this is our game plan. That was clear. They did it. From the first snap to the last snap, they did it. We're going to live and die with this. Because this is our identity, and I'm a coach, and I have a plan. Explain to me what our plan was for the game yesterday. I'm asking you, like, do you know what the game plan was for yesterday?
I felt like they was trying to go deep against that quarters look, but I guess my main thing is if you're trying to go deep against that quarters look, you don't have an offensive line to just straight up block them and drop back and throw the football. And what was crazy to me?
No, I'm talking about defense. I'm talking about on defense. Oh. I ain't talking about offense. They clearly didn't have no game plan. They clearly had no game plan. That was silly.
On defense, Adam Fuller is just Adam Fuller, bro. Like, you know what I don't understand about Adam Fuller? Why is Amari Gaynor not playing more?
I don't know.
Like, what defense is you running where one of your top, what, five best defensive players are not playing? Mm-hmm. What defense is you running? What scheme is that? I don't even understand. Like, I'm not going to lie to y'all. I cut the game off. I had to go back and rewatch it this morning so that way I could talk about it. Because I was like, once I see Gaynor wasn't playing that much, I'm like, he's coming in on third down here and a third down there. And I'm like, okay, I get that you want to play Brownlee in a slot, but that don't mean you take off your better defensive player. You find another place for him to go. Teams are going to play nickel. You should have known that before the season started.
When you have an idea, what is our defensive identity? What is Adam Fuller's, like, what is he known for? What is he trying to do? Game in and game out, what is he trying to do? Again, like, we know certain coaches. We know certain defensive coaches and that they have an identity and they're trying to do certain things. I don't know his. We 8 games in, and I can't tell you what he's like. Is he trying to blitz? Is he trying to stop the run? Does he want to stop the pass? Is he trying to, like, don't bend but don't break? Like, what is the defensive plan? And I keep saying it because I keep trying to figure out what it is. But every game it seems to switch. And most times we gotta really dig deep and try to figure out what the game plan was. It shouldn't be that difficult. It really shouldn't be that difficult of us trying to figure out and guess what your game plan is, what your plan was for this week's game. All right, we're gonna do this. But for some reason, every single game, every single week, this defense is giving up 40 points. Every single game, this defense is giving up 40 points plus 400 plus yards of offense. And this time to, again, another. And none of them are to, like, elite offenses and elite teams.
Right.
Like, giving up that point, giving up a lot of points to Clemson, it makes sense. I'm with that. Right? That's an elite team. You're supposed to give up those, and you're not very good. You're supposed to give up those points. Giving up that to Pitt, that's a problem.
Right.
Louisville, that's a problem. Again, what did we say? We're every team slump buster. They don't even run the ball. They out here running all over you. They ran the same play again. An offensive coordinator looked at Joe and said, all right, I'm going to run this play. Let's run this draw play. All right. Right. Run it again. All right, hold on. Run it again. like, come on, man. At some point, it's disrespect.
Right.
Like, it's just flat out disrespect. If I'm a D coordinator and this man calls the same play 3 straight times, hey, man, that's disrespectful to me. I go in the press conference and I'm airing shit out. Like, we got to, you know what I mean? Like, I'm the same draw play 3 plays in a row. The announcers was in there. I'm watching the game. The announcers in there like, yo, that's the same play.
Right.
Like, come on, man. But it's not the first time this has happened this season. Every week, a team realizes, oh, we got to play. Okay, this draw play worked. You know what? Let's run it again. See if they, you know what? Let's run it one more time. This is the first time I think we've seen it maybe 3 plays back to back to back.
Oh, man. It was terrible.
It's terrible.
You can't get the ball to Tamarin Terry.
No game plan to get the ball to Terry, though. That's the thing about it. Like, again, Terry can't go deep because Terry just had knee surgery. So give him some intermediate stuff. Let him just kind of get comfortable. You know what I mean? Let him get a feel for the game or whatever. Get him some touches.
It just was in over their head yesterday.
How? Against Pitt?
That's crazy, though. That's crazy because Pitt really is not like a – I mean, Pitt, you know, they're a pretty simple team. They play quarters on defense. You know, offense, they run some little counter here, counter there, try to, you know, matriculate the ball down the field a little bit. They don't do anything fairly crazy. But man, they took us to the fucking woodshed yesterday. Dude, it was some passes that our quarterbacks were throwing that was hitting Pitt DBs in the face mask. Oh, hey, them dudes are like, God damn, these dudes don't know what the hell they doing. Like,
Off of a bye week, you got miscommunication between your receivers.
But don't worry about it, though. We'll listen to somebody on Wake Up War Channel, somebody on those 247, whatever, say that goal line stop. You know, that's a sign of something big coming. So
nobody's going to say that. Listen, they were saying that earlier. I refuse to believe anybody's throwing that out there this week.
Maybe that's a turning point. That goal line stop. Maybe kick a field goal. They didn't give up. It's a turning point.
Man, they gave up. They gave up. They quit. I saw it. I think they've given up.
I really think that team has given up. And Marvin Wilson didn't play yesterday, did he?
Off of a bye week, Marvin Wilson, Travis J. Like, again, explain to me what happened. Like, you can't just wake up. Like, yeah, but again, you can't. We wake up for the game and find out that, like, five good players are not going to play this week. That can't just be like, all right, water under the bridge.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, what happened? Like, that should have been, like, there should be conversations. But again, I get it. You don't want to piss off your coach or whatever, so nobody's going to ask these questions. But again, man, off of bye week, no announcement, no nothing. Hey, Marvin Wilson sustained a bit of an injury or whatever. So, therefore, and I get it. You don't have to announce that players are injured or whatever. But if your best player, or supposedly your best defensive player, is not going to play for the game, it shouldn't be you find out 2 minutes before the game.
Right.
You know what I mean? Especially coming off a bye week. Like, somebody should have said, like, hey, listen. So, that, I mean, again, man, we trying to – I don't understand. Like, what happened? Did they get suspended? Is it – you know what I mean? Like, did apparently – like so then, because what you saw on the timeline was maybe he was one of the players who was complaining about having to practice on a bye week. Man, I don't believe that about Marvin Wilson. Having to wake up early and have early practices. That was Marvin Wilson and they're complaining about it. You did this also after the players only meeting, you know. There was a players only meeting last week. We was gonna get them,
I don't know.
Get some things
I don't know
straight.
I don't know anything about that meeting. I really don't. I mean, I can ask somebody about it, but
I don't care anything about it. I mean, anytime I hear the words players only meeting, I know it's bad. If your program has to have a player, if your program and team has gotten to the place where they're going to meet without the coaches, ooh boy, y'all in bad shape. I ain't never seen a team that had a players only meeting that came out and did something great.
Yeah.
I said I wasn't picking them again. I said it after the game, I wasn't picking them again. And I said, yep, their offense may not be good because their quarterback is out and this and the third, but our defense is still our defense. And our offense still can't seem to find their own rhythm. And what happened?
Well, at least
I didn't expect him to get blowed up. But
well, at least Woodby was back at linebacker.
That's okay. So, again, if you want to know that your coaches have no idea what's going on, look at how the roster continues to shuffle, right? They can't figure out who their starting running back is on offense. Toa Philly is the best running back out of that group. It's not even close, and it ain't, and it doesn't make any logical sense why he wouldn't be started. Corbin is the worst of that group. But for some reason this week, Corbin started. Webb somehow got like the second carries, and again, Toa Philly had only a couple touches. I'm not sure I understand what the game plan or what the strategy is for continuing to do this, but it shows to me that these dudes have no idea what they're doing. Or it says to me that these guys have no idea what they're doing. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's what it says to me, because when the best players don't play, I then look at the coach and say, why is he not playing? Every week, wide receivers, we just shuffling dudes in. This dude, all right, let's try this dude. Let's try that dude. Let's try this. Let's try that. Same thing on defense. Hey, Whip, you go here. All right, you go here. Steven Dix, you're going to play 98% of the snaps against North Carolina. We won't see you again the next week, and then we'll bring you back for, like, you know, 30% of the snaps this following week. Huh?
Yeah.
Woodby, you can go to linebacker. No, you know what? Go to safety. You know what? Go to DB.
Right.
Gaynor, you probably one of our best players, especially early in the season. You really like you was going to take off. All right, cool. You won't play at all.
Right.
Like, again, how does it make it make sense? I'm just not understanding how it's supposed to make sense when every single week we have no – like, we get in the depth chart like, oh, like every week looking at it like, oh, okay, this person here now. All right, this – like, it shouldn't be a surprise. It shouldn't be a surprise every week. Every single week, it's a surprise when the depth chart comes out, because we have no idea who's where they're going to play at this week, where they were at last week, and what's going to be different. Find you 11 guys on offense, find you 11 guys on defense, and run with those guys. I don't understand why that's not happening.
Yeah.
Especially this late into the season. You telling me you don't know who your best 11 guys are on defense? But I'm supposed to trust that you know what you're doing?
Mm-hmm.
You can't tell me who your best 11 guys are on defense? You can't tell me who your best 11 guys are on offense?
Right. It's,
you see what I mean? Like, it again, also, I know we talked about the we didn't talk about the offensive line. The offensive line was not bad yesterday. One of our guys was really bad, as he always is bad, because you had an injury, and they just continued to blitz the hell out of you because they knew that we were going to send more guys than what you had. The injury led to you having to play Bavion Johnson, who decided he was just going to let his man run by him every play. And then, again, they just continued to blitz you, and your coach continued to put your quarterback in bad positions. If you're going to continue to give them eight-step drops while they blitzing seven or eight, hey, I mean, what do y'all expect? I don't put that on the offensive line yesterday. Sorry. I don't put it on the offensive line yesterday. I felt like the coaches put them in bad positions, and they're in Pitt's game plan, not to mention you had an injury. I kind of give them a pass for that one. I don't know, man. I don't know. What I will tell you is that they got to find some answers. And for the first time, I don't believe this is the staff to find those answers. I thought maybe you've needed a few coaching changes and it would be all right. Now, I'm not sure they ain't get Willie Taggart, the lighter version of Willie Taggart.
I can't
say 100%, and I'm not saying they're going to fire him, but –
No, he's not going anywhere, so I don't want to get into that conversation. But I just think that you could make some adjustments on the staff and maybe find a way, man. But they got to find a way to recruit, because this season is going to be ugly, and then next season ain't gonna be much better. So, you know
that. Well, see, that's the problem. We can wrap, but that's exactly the problem. I'm not sure what are we looking forward to next season. You back at a full schedule, full travel, you know what I mean? Florida gets back on the roster. Clemson's still here. Miami's gaining. Louisville, explain to me where the wins are coming at next year.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm just saying, the future is not looking bright. I'll say that. And I guess we can wrap there.
All right, man.
Sam, you got anything else, man?
Nah, that's it, man. It's a new day. in this country. Florida State is trash, and I am not looking forward to playing Clemson. We got to find a way to get those guys to go to a club or a party or something.
You know what? You're right. I need to throw a party, get an event flyer or something like that.
Yeah, just post it out flyers.
Yeah, no more COVID party or something like that.
And Clemson just lost to Notre Dame. Man, they gonna put up. Man, they gonna run.
Yeah, they can try to get back in the conversation again. So they gonna have to. They gonna have to hang 100 on you.
Yeah,
they're gonna have to hang 100 just so they can show teams that was a fluke.
Yeah,
they're gonna have to hang 100 on us. Whew, that game gonna be sad, man.
I have to find something to do that day. Take the kid to the zoo.
Listen, I left midway through the fourth quarter yesterday. Took my kids out to this putt-putt in Augusta, man. We did some bumper boats and had a great time, man. Don't let Florida State get y'all down, man. Go out there and live your life. Enjoy yourself.
It can't hurt me no more.
No,
it can't
man.
Hurt me no more.
No. I told you I wasn't picking them. I was hoping for them to win, but I wasn't picking them. And I will not pick them next week. I'm just letting y'all know that now. We ain't even covered it. And I'm telling you, I will not be picking them next week.
All right, man. Well, right. Let's wrap, man.
Yep. Hey, man, as always, you've heard the Listen Up podcast. Rate, review, subscribe. We out.
Thank you.
Yo.
Thank you. Far too kind.
Can I get an encore? Do you want more? Cook it with the Brooklyn Boys. So for one last time, I need y'all to brawl. Now what the hell are you waiting for? After me, there should be no more. So for one last time, make some noise. Who you know fresher than whole? Riddle me that. The rest of y'all know where I'm lurking at. Can't none of y'all mirror me back. Yeah, hear me rap, it's like Angie rapping his prime. I'm Young H.O., rap's Grateful Dead. Back to take over the globe, now break bread. I'm in Boeing Jets, Flow Express. Out the country, but the blueberries still connect. On the low, but the yacht got a triple deck. But when you young, what the f*** you spec? Yep. Grand opening, grand closing. Damn your manhole, crack the can open again. Who you gonna find open in hand with no pen? Just draw inspiration.